Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks that we can worship and sing. What a beautiful, what a wonderful, and what a powerful name is the name of Jesus. Thanks that we have opportunity to invest financially and with our time and our energy into what you're doing in this city, this nation, and the nations of the earth. God, I pray that you would, as we open your scriptures today, we would hear your voice, and that we'd be filled with conviction and clarity, that sense of courage to obey what you call us to. And so we just commit these next few minutes into your hands, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. If you're on Facebook Live or you're joining us with Church Online, great to have you with us. We're starting a series around the Holy Spirit over this next month. And we're going to look into what and delve into what the Scriptures teach us about God, the Holy Spirit, His role, His personality, His intentions and motivations with us. And so we're going to kick that off. We're kicking that off today by just going to look at a few key pieces of Scripture that lay a foundation of our understanding and of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our neighbourhoods, in our families. As I was preparing, I was reminded of the fact that as I was growing up, our family, I don't know what your family's like, but our family used to enter any and every competition that we possibly could. Colouring competitions, you know, little coupons in the newspaper, any and every competition. Like literally hundreds and hundreds of competitions. Do you know how many competitions we won over like the course of like 20 years? One. It was about a year before I moved out of home with some friends, and Mum and Dad had entered this competition. And you know what the prize was? A limousine ride in Los Angeles. So Mum and Dad win. They're beside themselves with excitement, and we're all gathered around the table, just celebrating. And then it dawned on us. We had the ticket for the limousine ride in Los Angeles. You know what we didn't have? Tickets to get us to Los Angeles. So this was a bit of a conundrum for us, but the beautiful thing was Mum and Dad are going, we are going in that limousine. Like, this is the only competition we have ever won. We are going. And as kids, we're going, yes, we're going. We support you, Mum and Dad. And do you know what they did? I'm the eldest of four kids. You know what they did? They bought six tickets, plane tickets to Los Angeles. So we went to California, up and down the West Coast for a month. It was awesome. And then the day we came back to Los Angeles, we dropped in at the limousine place, and our final thing that we did in Los Angeles was go all the way around the City of Angels in a limousine. And then we got dropped at the airport by a limousine. It was glorious. We were living the dream. But the limousine for me was not the highlight of that trip. The highlight of that trip was one Sunday when we were actually staying in San Diego at the time. And I caught the train. It's about a 3 or 4 hour train ride up to Los Angeles, up to Anaheim, right next to Disneyland. And I had been waiting to do this for 5, 6 years. But there was a church that was led by a pastor, a guy by the name of John Wimber, who was like my hero in the faith. And he wrote books, and he taught about the power of the Holy Spirit. That in our day, in our age, and in our city, in our context, in our lives, God can actually heal people. That where people are crippled by shame and brokenness, God can set them free and bring transformation in their lives. He wrote about this, and it was in such a relaxed, faith-filled way that as I was just my first years as a Christian, it was like I could barely believe. He taught that what happened in the Scriptures could happen in our life and in our lifetime. And so I took the 3 or 4 hour trip by myself up to Anaheim, up to this church. I got there about 3 or 4 hours early because I didn't want to run the risk of there being a queue and I wouldn't get in. So I was there. There was no one there. And I'd waited and waited and waited. And then I went into the church building. I'll never forget it. I just sat there. John Wimber stood up and I was in the room with him. There were 1,000 other people, but that didn't matter. I was in a room with him. And I sat and I listened, and I can't remember what he said. But what I do remember is this. At the end of his sermon, he prayed a prayer that has revolutionized my life. He prayed this prayer. He stands up and he says, okay, everybody stand up. What we need is not just words. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, so bow your heads. I'm just going to pray. And he prayed this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit came. Yeah? And people, I saw people before my eyes for the very first time. I saw people healed. Like stuff that Jesus was doing, I saw happening next to Disneyland in a church before my very eyes. And people were being set free. It was incredible. But it was in the most relaxed way. Zero hype. Just a relaxed prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And so in this month, as we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to frame it in these terms. That we learn the power of that prayer for our own lives. Come, Holy Spirit. And that when we pray a simple, childlike, faith-filled prayer like that, that is music to his ears. And God the Holy Spirit, his intention at every point is to respond to that kind of prayer. It's not magic words. It's not a formula. And when I heard John Wimber say it, he wasn't conjuring up some routine. He was simply in a faith-filled, childlike way, praying, come, Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at some of the scriptures that lay some groundwork for our understanding, our stepping into a life that is fueled by that kind of prayer. So if you have a Bible with you, we're going to start where the Bible starts writing about the Holy Spirit, and that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this is really important because the way the Bible writes about the Holy Spirit from the very beginning, we need to understand that he is part and parcel of everything that God wants to do in and through our lives. Yeah? He wants to empower us to live into the kind of life that he imagines and dreams for us. And the way he does that is he wants to bring the power and the presence and the peace of the Holy Spirit into your life and into my life, every single one of us. And so as the Bible starts with the Holy Spirit right at the beginning, that's what we're going to do as well. And it says this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You know the words, but just listen to them afresh. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And it's interesting because in Jesus' day, when the translators of the Old Testament were trying to capture this image for people in Jesus' time, largely the world spoke Greek, and they were trying to translate the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. As they looked at this passage, they saw that this image here of what the Holy Spirit was doing was more than just floating over a puddle, which seems very sort of passive and not much going on. No, no, no. When they looked at this image, what they saw, this word hovering, what they saw was this idea of almost the Holy Spirit rushing upon, attacking or assaulting, battling with those things and those forces that oppose the purpose of God. You see, in this story of creation, the waters were not just passive. The waters almost represented chaos and everything that opposes the work of God. And so the Holy Spirit, his role from the very beginning was subduing and battling with the forces that oppose God's will in your life and my life. Do you know, do you experience that dynamic of the Holy Spirit in your life? Because from the very, very beginning, the things that you battle with, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to find a way forward, a way up, and a way out of those things that within you battle against God's purpose for your life, and those things that surround you that battle against God's purpose in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to empower and be present and bring his peace into your life so that you can find a way forward and a way out. I wonder if there's stuff going on in your interior world that actually makes it hard for you to step into what God's got for you next. Maybe there's some broken stuff going on with you that causes you to hurt the people closest to you. And you wish you didn't act in certain ways, but there's something that's broken within you and it causes you even to hurt the people who are closest to you and you love most. It causes you to be a disappointment to the people you wish weren't disappointed in you. From the very beginning, part of the Holy Spirit's desire, intent, and role in your life is to help you find a way through that. Never designed to do it alone. Never designed to just sink into shame and guilt, but actually find a way forward, a way up, and a way out through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first step leaning into that is to pray the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, last week, my cousin, she lives up in Wangaratta, and she's got three little kids with her partner. She doesn't know Jesus, the kids and the partner don't know Jesus. Just the most wonderful, wonderful lady. If she was 5 years young, she's an amazing sports person. If she was 5 years younger, would have been playing in the women's AFL. Like, really talented, beautiful, beautiful person. Last week, her partner, after a long battle with some really dark mental health stuff, he committed suicide. I can't imagine his final hours of such darkness and chaos. Yeah. And it sort of steeled my resolve to press back into the Holy Spirit, because the darkness and chaos within him, he never found the power of the Holy Spirit to find a way out, a way up, and a way forward. And I was reminded again of, in the most awful way, how desperately we need him. Like, you desperately need him. I desperately need him. And he will respond. Come, Holy Spirit. He will respond to you. I want to jump forward a little bit in the scriptures to Exodus chapter 31. If you've got your Bible, would you look there? Exodus chapter 31, right at the beginning. And I want to look at something else that's really important for us to understand. If we're going to be people who pray this prayer, come, Holy Spirit. It says this, verse 1 of Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you." Now, the way this passage is written, we've got to understand something. The Holy Spirit didn't just parachute in every time the guys turned up to work on the tabernacle. He equipped them in every area of life. You see, he gifted them and skilled and given them skills as tradesmen, as guys who could earn a living through these skills as they put them to work. And it was in every area of their life that God brought his gifting. You see, the Spirit's gifting and enabling is not just for church. Like, in my life, the Holy Spirit's interest, I'm sure he's interested in my sermon, but you know what? He's interested in every part of my life and wants to bring his power and his presence into every area of my life. And the same is true for you. In your workplace, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you in that space. For him, your work is sacred. For him, what's going on in your family right now, what's going on in your neighborhood, your school, your college, your university, that is sacred for the Holy Spirit. His gifting activity in your life is not just for church. Now, don't get me wrong, I like church. I'm employed by church. But God is interested in every part of our lives. So these guys, he equipped them for their workplace, and part of what they could bring from their workplace was the skills to work on the tabernacle. But that was just part. God wants to step into every area of your life. Your budgeting and your finance. Some of you are absolutely gifted in the area of finance. You need to see that's the Holy Spirit at work in you. There are people in this room who can pay off their credit card every month. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are some people in this room who've paid off their mortgage. That's a sacred thing to the Holy Spirit. See the different areas of your life as sacred and pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. For some of you facing challenges in your workplace, whether that's relationship or whether that's clarity around your role description, pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. He is desperately interested in what is going on in your world, not just whether you turn up to church. Every area of life. Let's jump forward a little bit further to Joel chapter 2. And Joel was one of the prophets. And One day, he delivered this prophecy, and it was a game changer. He delivered this prophecy that shocked everyone. He delivered this prophecy where nothing would ever be the same. He gave this prophetic word where everybody's understanding of the Holy Spirit up until this point was changed forever. In fact, it was so revolutionary what Joel said in his prophecy in Joel chapter 2 that Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, grabbed this prophecy and said, "The amazing thing about this prophecy is that it is fulfilled today in our time and our age and our experience." And so we read these words of Joel, he has you and me in mind. Listen to what he says. It's extraordinary. He says, "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams." Then he pushes a little further. "Even on my servants," and then a little further, "both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy." This expression, "in the last days" or "in those days," that's code for the time when people put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's our day and that's our age. We live in that era. This is for us. And you see, up until this point, the Holy Spirit was only ever given on special occasions to special people for a special purpose. He'd parachute in, and it would be almost always on a prophet or a king for a special occasion. So it was for the elite. Every now and again. And it was amazing, the stories of Samson and David and Solomon, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they did amazing things. And for the people, it was sort of inspiring, but it was mostly frustrating. Because their experience of the faith journey was the law. And they mostly couldn't get it right. And then the leaders started making extra laws because you needed so many more. And their experience of faith was disappointment and frustration. And then one day, Joel stands up and he says, "You know what? I'm looking forward to that day when people can put their faith in Jesus. And in that day, everyone gets to play. In that day, in our day, no one is disqualified. No one is excluded." Do you know that? When you pray that prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," do you know that you are not excluded and you are not disqualified? It's incredibly important that you understand that, because there's something in so many of us that goes, "Well, the Holy Spirit might move in that person's life, but never mine." And that's a myth that can bind you up and stop you actually praying the very prayer the Holy Spirit wants to respond to in your life. All people, listen to what he says, all people, your sons and your daughters. So not just grown-ups, sons and daughters. Then he says, and age is no barrier, young men and old men. And he then almost says, and if you think I'm just using gender-specific language, he's not. He says, men and women, every single one of us gets to pray the prayer in every area of our life and discover the power of the Holy Spirit responding to what is on his heart for us. So we pray the prayer, and where do we go from that? Because the scripture continually talks about being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the deal with that? How's that work? I think it works like this. We pray the prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," and then we obey the next thing God tells us to do. What you'll find is all the way through Scripture, the peace and the power and the protection of the Holy Spirit, his work in our lives, is again and again and again tied to obedience. And it's not a performance contract. It's not like a clause in our sort of like salvation contract. No, because it worked the same way with Jesus. He continually stepped, had a point of obedience, he obeyed, and he experienced the power and the peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he said in his final words in the upper room, he said, "That's exactly the same way it works with you." Yeah? Because your Father wants to respond to you, wants to pour out his Holy Spirit on you. Your key is obeying. It's interesting, Peter absolutely got this, and there was this season in the early church where there was this horrible persecution. And he says these words when he's in Acts chapter 5, verses 30 through 32. He picks up this exact point. And obedience is never complicated. But sometimes it's really hard. And it's not always big, sometimes it's just little. But it always unlocks the way in for the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, verse 30 of Acts chapter 5. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. And God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There is so much more at stake with your next step of obedience. And that step, that call, that challenge from God, that will come today. It will come. It will come this week. The challenge, the invitation into something new, something different, that step forward. It will come. The question is, will we obey? That's why I think this prayer, "Come Holy Spirit," is so powerful, because it postures us to lean in and want to take that next step. And again, it's not just for church. I remember before I was a pastor on staff here at church, I was a school teacher. Yeah, for about 8 years, I was a school teacher. And I did my first year at Frankston High School. I was an emergency teacher at Frankston High School every day for a year. You know what I needed to pray at 7:30 every morning? That's when the phone call came for me to know if I was going to get work that day. Yeah. What I wanted to pray was, please don't let the phone ring, Lord. But I would pray every single day because I knew I'd learned that God was incredibly interested in being involved in my school teaching. Every morning I'd pray this prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." And do you know what? I survived. I survived emergency teacher at Frankston High School for a year. And every day I prayed the prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." You know, I've got four kids at the moment. At the moment, I've got four kids. I just might sit down. I've got four kids. And at the moment, three of them are teenagers. I'd heard about teenagers. Now they live at my place. And there's not just one. There's three. Did I mention they're teenagers? And I love them desperately. But boy, oh boy, the only way I can describe parenting three teenagers is it's a roller coaster. Yeah? I used to think it was rough if the kids woke up at night when they were little. That's not rough. Three teenagers is rough. And I love them desperately. But I need to regularly pray the prayer because I know God is not just interested in my sermon. He's interested in how I parent my kids. And in those moments of weakness and frustration and fatigue, when my teenagers, maybe, you know, their frontal lobe is not really kicking in and they're making some irrational decisions, and I just want to go logic and I want to go hard or go home, and that is the dumbest thing to do in that moment. Comfort and listening and giving them space to be themselves and discover a way forward. That's what I need to do. And I pray this prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." And it's usually desperation. And he gives me the power to stop talking. And if you've got teenagers, you know stopping talking is probably more often than not the right thing to do. And here's the thing, I live with this hope. Because who's ever had a teenager in their house? Look around. Look around. Okay, now keep your hand up. Okay, now keep your hand up if you lived through it. No, don't put your hand down. The guys before, they all kept their hands up. Maybe they were lying, but... So I'm filled with hope. But again, we pray the prayer and we discover the power of it. Come, Holy Spirit. Let me just give you one more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And it's this beautiful passage where the Apostle Paul describes the life. Describes the kind of life that your Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ, that God the Holy Spirit wants to invite you to live. And there are valleys and there are mountaintops. And there's challenges and opportunities and there's battles and there are moments of breakthrough. And sometimes there are moments of despair. But sometimes there are moments of exhilaration. But against that backdrop, the beautiful thing about this passage is it describes in absolute clarity the motivation of your God towards you. That what he wants to do in response to come, Holy Spirit. And it goes like this. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Listen what it says. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And you know what the heart of the prayer that Paul prayed every day was, I reckon? Come, Holy Spirit. Because he says this. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit wants to paint the picture of this kind of life for you and invite you to take the next step into it. The invitation of the Holy Spirit is rarely a leap of faith. It's usually a step of faith. But it's almost always a step of obedience. He says this, wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And that's not just church. Every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God, relationship with God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance. You know what endurance it is? When the scriptures write about endurance, it's not just hanging on for dear life. It's meeting a challenge, coming through it, and what happens in going through a challenge, we meet the next one with a greater capacity to move through it. Endurance is this our internal world, our internal strength, our interior life, growing stronger and stronger and more robust with every challenge and opportunity. Again and again and again. That's the kind of life. According to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. He continually prays this prayer. And that's why my challenge to you is pray it every day. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray it into every area of your life. Come, Holy Spirit, and lean in to the power of that prayer and just see what he might do. Just see what he might do. He might just take your breath away. He might even be bigger than your despair or your anxiety or your disappointment in someone else or your disappointment in yourself. He just might demonstrate that he's bigger than that. He just might demonstrate that he's big enough to equip you in the area of managing your finances. Because for him, that is sacred. But the invitation is this, every day, continually in the language of Paul, every day pray the prayer. And lean into the power of come, Holy Spirit. And he finishes this beautiful paragraph by saying, he's qualified you. Again, critically important for us to understand if we're going to live the life. You are not excluded and you are not disqualified. So let's pray the prayer. Would you bow your heads? And just close your eyes and just take a moment of still. A moment of stillness. And just in the quietness, call to mind an area of life right now where you need to pray the prayer. And it might be your home, and it might be your relationship with kids. And it's complicated, and it's disappointing. And it feels just more broken than anything else. Call that to mind and pray the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. I was just preparing today. I just got this sense that there are people here and there is disappointment in you, disappointment in people close to you or a person close to you. And disappointment with yourself. Please pray the prayer, come, Holy Spirit. For For some of us in our journey with our mental health, it's sometimes dark and sometimes incredibly difficult. And we need to be wise in the way that we move forward, but we also need to pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit. Because you know what? He can help you find a way forward, a way up and a way out. I know that. It's a prayer we pray in our family. Come Holy Spirit. So whatever is that area in life right now, know this, you are not disqualified, you are not excluded from this prayer. And the invitation is this, pray it and just see what He might do. Come Holy Spirit.